Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've chosen to join us on the broadcast today. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on what I consider a very important issue. And that very important issue is not just a single item. It is the coming together of multitudes of things that are happening today around the globe that point to the fact that God's Word is absolutely accurate and absolutely trackable based on what we see happening in the globe around the globe today. The Bible talks about these end-time events, earthquakes, volcanoes, hurricanes, tornadoes, etc., etc. We're seeing that becoming more and more rapid and with greater and greater intensity. And yet we're somehow, some way, I believe most of the world today is simply oblivious to what these things mean and how we should understand them and how we should embrace them and the realization and the recognition of what God is doing. I'm looking at an article that says, the idea that the Antichrist in Revelation 13 will use digital currency to control the people and is a modern interpretation that is not explicitly stated in the Bible, but has been speculated by some theologians, prophecy teachers, and commentators, especially in recent decades. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you what the scripture says in relationship to that. Revelation chapter 13, it's not but 18 verses, and I'd love to take the time to exegete verse by verse, word for word, and explain it to you, our listeners, so you'd understand fully what the Revelation text says. By the way, I've had the privilege in less than 100 years to preach through the book of Revelation, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, about 10 or 11 times. We have the first draft of what hopefully one day will become the manuscript to produce a four-volume commentary set on the book of Revelation. It's my joy and my thrill to study the Revelation text. But the scripture says about the Antichrist that he will also have a false prophet. That false prophet will be able to develop signs, miracles, and wonders that will cause the whole world to follow after the Antichrist. And so coming to about verse 12, and he exercises all the power of the first beast. That's talking about the false prophet will exercise all the powers of the Antichrist before him, and causeth the earth that and them that dwell therein to worship the false beast. That's the Antichrist, may I say, whose deadly wound was healed. By the way, when you look at the earlier verses of the chapter 13, you find when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will have a mortal wound, and the false prophet will be able to raise him from the dead. As a result of that, the whole world will be awe-stricken at the Antichrist that he was raised from the dead. Everything that Christ has ever done, the Antichrist wants to mimic, put into the view as though it is coming from him. The Antichrist will be raised from the dead just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. I find it a fascinating fact that people were not awed at Jesus, did not want to follow Jesus as we say on a global basis that will be for the Antichrist. But the scripture says then and verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh the fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. Pause there. The Antichrist will be able to cause signs, miracles, and wonders that will look supernatural, and they are. But they're not of God. They're not of the Holy Spirit. They have no power from God. It is the power from Satan himself through the Antichrist. Make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, that is, in the sight of the Antichrist, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which he had a wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast and to the image of the beast that should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man, listen, verse 17, no man will be able to buy, sell, I'm a ad lib, buy, sell, trade, exchange, etc., 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 or unless he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I tried to go through that hurriedly for the sake of time, but the bottom line is the Antichrist, through the miracle working of the false prophet, will be able to cause fire to come down from heaven, be able to perform signs, miracles, and wonders that will look as though it is something supernatural, and it is. It's a demonic supernatural power. In Revelation 13, the first three, several verses, verse 3, 4, and 5 in particular, it says that the power of the Antichrist is given to him by Satan himself. So what we're talking about is the day coming very soon when we will see the, if we're saved, we won't be here, but the world will see the Antichrist step on the scene through signs, miracles, and wonders, and the whole world will follow after the Antichrist. And he will be in total dominating control that you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade unless you have the mark and the hand of the head. Now, down through the years, many have said that's a chip that will be implanted. We don't necessarily know that it would be a chip. It could be a mark. It says a mark. It could be that which we see coming with the digital currency. For example, it is my most humble opinion, when the digital currency makes its way and it is the end thing, there will be so much fraud, so much theft, so much stealing of that. For example, if you've got all of your money in your cell phone with the digital currency and somebody steals your phone, does that mean they have all of your money? Absolutely. Unless there's something that you only can control that funding through your digital device. And I believe it will be some kind of a mark that will be required based on the scripture. Not some, how would you say, ad lib, but based on the scripture. Some kind of mark will be required so that it identifies you with your currency and that digital currency. That digital currency, ladies and gentlemen, is on the fast track. I'm looking at it. So this article reads, so where does the digital currency come in? The text does not mention digital currency, but electronic payment system and anything specific to modern technology. However, some interpret will to buy or sell as a restriction, as implying a centralized economic system that would align with the digital financial currency. In our time, digital currency like the CBDC, Bitcoin, etc., and a cashless society are increasingly discussed in terms of surveillance and total economic control for all of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Have you heard me say this before on this broadcast? We're putting the chessmen on the board. We're putting the tools in the hands, being prepared for the Antichrist when he steps on the scene to be able to do so. That, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about Israel and the two-state solution they're trying to force on Israel, when we talk about the wars and rumors of wars, when we talk about what is happening with Russia and with Ukraine, and President Trump meeting today with Zelensky and others of the European Union trying to negotiate a peace treaty between Russia and Ukraine, when we talk about that, ladies and gentlemen, that's the tip of the iceberg of the last days and those things that will take place. Listen, right now, there's a move in America to go total Marxist, communist, socialist governmental system. We're on the fast track at this very moment, ladies and gentlemen, to totally obliterate, totally annihilate, totally change, and put in the trash heap our constitutional republic. How do I know that? We're witnessing the Islamic jihadist regime standing up across our nation and around the globe. Today, most of Europe is controlled by the Islamic jihadists. Today, most of the UK controlled by the Islamic jihadists. Today, ladies and gentlemen, France and Germany controlled by the Islamic jihadists. Today, the Netherlands and Sweden and other nations, ladies and gentlemen, are controlled by the Islamic jihadists. And we're witnessing and watching their standing up in America. Dearborn, Michigan, today is controlled by the Islamic jihadists. Today in Wisconsin, much of that which takes place is that which is controlled by the Islamic jihadists. And there's a push today in Texas for it to be a major domicile for the Islamic jihadists. I'm looking at a headline, Texas takeover, 330 mosques, 450,000 Muslims, and growing political power. Let me just read you one paragraph. Texas is becoming ground zero for the cultural takeover, and no one in power is stopping it. In this explosive site, a man that says here exposes 450,000 Muslims, 330 mosques, and entire Sharia-compliant neighborhoods are reshaping the state. Right now, under Governor Abbott's nose, the HOA fees funding mosques, Islamic courts opening, operating in shadow government, and public schools bending to the pressure of Islamic. Politicians talk tough, but nothing changes. If you think this is just Dearborn, Michigan, or Minneapolis, think again. What's happening in Texas won't stay in Texas. This is the warning we need to watch and to watch now. So, ladies and gentlemen, why do I bring this up? Because this is part and parcel of what we see taking place. When you recognize it says nation against nation, that word nation in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, that word nation is word ethnos, ethnicity against ethnicity. We'd call it race against race. And we're witnessing that today, ladies and gentlemen, with the fast track of what will take place in the next few years. In fact, demographers in 2009, demographers said that by 2020, America would be controlled by Islam. I'm looking at another headline. Watch Midwest Mandami, that's Mandami, M-A-M-D-A-N-I, announce top priority if elected, and it is not just Minneapolis. Democratic mayoral candidate Omar Fateh, F-A-T-E-H, of Minneapolis said that in an interview that his first priority as mayor would be to protect undocumented residents from what he claimed was a hostile federal government. This is a young man that's running, ladies and gentlemen, for mayor in that city in Minneapolis. And ladies and gentlemen, he goes on to talk about the fact of what he'll do. He says, day one, if I were elected, what would be your top priority? Three priorities for the city, he said. He said in that answer, first of all, I would say would be a hostile federal government with not only Donald Trump in office, but has essentially a trifecta, both chambers of Congress and Supreme Court, and a lot of our neighbors, especially our undocumented residents, are very concerned. In other words, he's an anti-American. In other words, he's a Nigerian Islamic jihadist that is on the very cusp of being elected as the mayor. He goes on to say, compared to the Democratic mayoral candidate, Zohan Mandami of New York. New York City, ladies and gentlemen, is about to be to see its heyday in the past. If Mandami wins the election as mayor of New York, and he stands better than a 50% chance of doing so in November. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the danger of foreign allegiance in our nation, with allegiance to another source other than America. In fact, saying that made me think, I've got an article that says, the dangerous rise of foreign allegiances in Congress. The rise of dual loyalties in Congress is a dangerous trend. It goes on to talk about the one that is from Guatemala, calls into question her commitment to American law and sovereignty. Representative Della Ramirez, Democrat of Illinois, sitting member of Congress, openly stated in Spanish during a political event in Mexico City, I'm a proud Guatemalan before I am an American. Ladies and gentlemen, that individual ought to be put out of the House of Representatives. And yet there's the mindset that there should be an allegiance to a nation that you've come from. This article goes on to say, if we don't demand that our elected leaders place their loyalty to the United States above all else, then we risk the very foundation of this republic. And that's exactly what we see. We're witnessing the implosion of the United States of America. And as we witness that implosion of the United States of America, we're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, also the demise of morals and ethics and values. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, today, understanding prophecy via current events. These events that are taking place at rapid pace across the nation and around the world are not just happenstance. We're witnessing the stage being set. The clock, right now, the hands of the clock is stopped at 1 minute before midnight. And when God starts that clock moving, it happens at a rapid pace when the rapture of the church takes place. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What say you? What do you think about the rapid pace events that are taking place? Do you see those as prophetic events? Listen to one very unusual anomaly that's taking place. Headline I'm reading. A gigantic 250-mile mystery blob, that's B-L-O-B, is headed straight for New York City. This is dated August the 5th, 2025. There's a molten blob the size of Maine slowly crawling its way under the eastern United States, and scientists aren't entirely sure what it wants. What they do know is that it's moving toward New York. This underground mass, formerly known as the Northern Appalachian Anomaly, is made of abnormally hot rocks deep beneath the Earth's crust. It stretches 220 miles wide and sits about 120 miles down, oozing southwest at a glacial pace of 12 miles. Listen to this now. It's oozing southwest at a glacial pace of 12 miles per million years. I just made a little marginal note in that article. Wow. Who's counting those years? As we look at what is taking place with so many things, as we look at it through the prism of the Word of God, we need to understand God's at work. God is revealing these signs in the last days before the church is raptured out, the 7 years of tribulation, and then the Lord Jesus Christ returning. I believe Greg's on the line. Greg, go with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, it is interesting to note the number of things that are just kind of, they jump off the pages. You go, man, this just looks biblical, whether we're talking the locust swarms, we're talking about the water in the Sea of Galilee and otherwise turning red, looking at the Euphrates River, you know, drying up, looking at, you know, the wars and rumors of wars. We're looking at what's taking place in and around Israel. We look at the racial discontent, which is the nation rising against nation, the ethnos against ethnos. It's almost like Jesus is saying, hey, it's going to be soon. But so many of these things, people are trying to tie directly to a specific biblical prophecy, and so many of these things, the timing isn't right. You know what I mean? The timing isn't right for this to actually be taking place. But I think he's letting you know, letting us know, hey, it's soon, it's soon, it's soon. And for all those that are listening to the, you know, Darby made this rapture up, and Schofield made this rapture up, and they're all, you know, it's Rothschild's family, and it's a Jewish conspiracy. I mean, y'all all heard this. I know you have. If you're listening, if your eyes are open, you've heard this stuff, and they tried to make the rapture out to be something that's not biblical. I got news for you. It is biblical. And we're drawn out as believers because there's wrath that's about to be poured out. And you being the senior theologian in the room, what does it say about wrath, God's wrath being poured out? Who is it for?
The wrath of God, W-R-A-T-H, wrath, is the thumos, the white-hot anger of God. God is not angry with the Christian. God has no wrath to be mitigated against the Christian. The wrath of God was poured out on his Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross for you and for me as Christians in the world today. So God's not angry with the Christian. God is angry, and that thumos, the white-hot anger, in his wrath will be poured out on a Christ rejecting, Bible hating, God denying society after the church, the Christians, the ones that are blood bought, Bible saved, born again, were snatched out of this old world. Greg, you're right on target.
Let me Let me be the interviewer instead of the interviewee for just a second here and spin this one back around on you. There are a few points that make the rapture text completely distinct and separate and not to be muddied with or included with the return text. Can you give me two or three points that make those two events totally separate, totally different than one another, so that one cannot confuse one with the other?
Absolutely. It's the 70th week of Daniel, as you find in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. It is the 70th week of Daniel. It is for my people, according to Daniel 9:24, my people. So the wrath of God is to be poured out. That 7 years of tribulation is to be poured out, with God getting the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, getting their attention, so that as found in Zechariah the 12th chapter, verse 7 and following, they will recognize Yeshua Messiah and recognize that they have slain the Yeshua Messiah, confess their sins, repent, and be brought into the millennial reign with the church age saints. The text says in Revelation 3:10 that we should be kept out from, that word kept out from, the word out is the little Greek word ek, and it says kept out from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 also says that. So we find in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18, what is truly the rapture text. It is the classic text in all of the Bible that points out that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. The rapture, Jesus Christ appears in the clouds to bring us to Him, and in the return, which is 7 years after the rapture, during the days of the tribulation, after the 7 years of tribulation, the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 says, when Jesus lands, I'm going to use the young blood vocabulary, when Jesus lands on the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives is going to cleave, that is split, cause a great valley to be formed from the top of the mountain, Mount of Olives, right into the eastern gate, where Jesus will cross the Kidron Valley and go right into the eastern gate, be seated on the throne, and rule and reign for 1,000 years. So there's a 7-year differentiation between the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We return with Him. We're caught up together to be with Him in the air, and then we return with Him. And by the way, Greg, another little tidbit that people need to understand. What do we do for that 7 years while the tribulation is taking place on the earth? The church, the believers, the Christians, will go before Jesus Christ, the Bema Seat Judgment. We'll be judged for what we've done after salvation, not for our salvation. And then we'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and following, seated around that throne. And then we will return with Him, according to the 19th chapter, the 11th verse and following. And so it's an exciting trip as we see that. But yes, there's a major distinction between the rapture and the return. And by the way, we're in the ninth critiquing of the manuscript on a book that I'm praying will be out perhaps as early as September. It is titled The Rapture Debate Resolved. And it's my prayer that it'll be about 120, 130 page book, that it will be the resolution of the question about it. But Greg, one of the other things that we see taking place that is proof text in relationship to the last days. I'm reading this article. Since the shooting stopped, the scale of the massacre in Syria has emerged. 3,300 dead Christians and religious minorities are butchered. Another headline. Peace was shattered as 200 Christians were massacred by 40 gunmen after they stormed a quiet Christian refugee village in Nigeria as the shooters shouted, "Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar." Those on the ground called this late evening attack the bloodiest massacre on record. So, Greg, the point that I bring out with that is that part and parcel of what we see in the last days is the persecution of Christians. Talk about that a minute, and how should we view it as Christians?
Well, Jesus, prior to His departure, said, folks, if they hate you, know that they hated me first. Those that live in Christ Jesus will face persecution, according to the Scripture. It's to be anticipated, and then during the tribulation, it will hit an apex. It'll hit a fevered pitch for those that come to know Christ during the tribulation. The reality is, today, you have fake Christianity, heresy out within many churches that have embraced the notion that tolerance is a Christian virtue. Tolerance is just the opposite, according to Scripture. And those things that God calls sin, man can never change God's law, God's standard. You agree with God on what is sin and what is not, and the way to redemption. That's what the church, that's what the body of Christ, that's what the ecclesia is to be all about. You can't share the gospel message and not share with someone that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Matter of fact, the law is that schoolmaster in that respect. It makes all of us equal in that we are all fallen, sinful human beings in need of a redeemer, in need of a Savior. And this false doctrine that has crept in all over the place, and Jude talks about those that have crept in unawares. I think we've seen it creep in. I think we're seeing the apostate church rise today, and Christians are being told, if you say anything, you're a bigot. If you say anything, you're a homophobe. If you say anything, you're an Islamophobe. If you say anything, you're a transphobe. And those things are all, those are intended to be scary terms. And they add the word phobe, like there's a, you're afraid of. And you go, no, I'm just agreeing with God. These things are sin. These folks need a Savior. That's all. It is amazing how in this culture you see that rubbish passing as Christianity. I think we're seeing the last of the last days today. I think, again, the apostate church is rising and the falling away in absolute mass proportion. We saw a lot of it. You know, churches began to close at the fastest rate in 400 years during the, you know, Wu flu, pandemic, whatever you want to call it. I think we're seeing the last vestiges of real Christianity and the appearance of that apostate church that the Antichrist will absolutely be able to control during the tribulation time. But we as believers, our mission does not change. There's chaos everywhere, it seems like. The news has it every single day. But our mission as believers does not change one iota. We're to continue building just as those folks in Nehemiah's day continued building the wall. You literally, you know, prepare to take care of your family, to defend yourself. That's the sword in the hand, while you continue the work, the mortar, the trowel, the bricklaying, the sharing the gospel for us as believers. You share the gospel till he comes. Be faithful till he comes. The scripture says, occupy till he comes.
Amen. That's exactly right. And Greg, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood. He resides up in the northeast tip of heaven, and I'm thankful that he's taken time out of his schedule to call. Greg, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.